Thank you. Praise be for leading us this morning. Somewhere I lost the memo, missed the memo to stand. Don't you usually stand up for the first song? Change it up, you guys. All of a sudden, everyone around here was standing, and I wasn't.
Well, you're perfect.
Well, Steve, I just wasn't listening to you. Sorry. Now, don't draw on the back of the visitor's card. Oh, we have fun here. I don't get to pick on Steve as much as I used to because he's not in the office anymore. So I take my chances when I get him. So anyway, well, this was a big week. One of the things that happened this week is something that happens every year about this time, and that is the State of the Union Address. That happened on Tuesday night. How many of you tuned in to the State of the Union Address? Well, good. I would have, but there was a basketball game that night. So, and I thought it was really important to go cheer on our local Colfax Bulldogs, although now I wish I'd kind of listened. That was really a bummer. The boys game lost the last. It wasn't even second. Now I'm second. The State of the Union Address, the purpose of that is so that we can understand what the president is thinking, and so that he can identify what he sees has been happening in the past, what's happening now, and kind of presents a future look into what is going to be happening. Well, today we're going to have a State of the Union Address. It won't be quite as long as the president's. I think someone said he went an hour and a half or close to that. I don't know. Boy, I don't know how someone can talk that long. Although I did sit beside someone at the basketball game on Tuesday night, and I think they talked an hour and a half. I won't mention any names, but Paul gives us a State of the Union Address, a spiritual State of the Union Address. And in this address, he points out to us where we were. He points out to us where we are now and what it took to get us from where we were to where we are. And then he points out to us a future vision. And so we're going to look at this State of the Union Address that it talks about our spiritual lives. And the main theme of this State of the Union Address is united. We are united in Christ. So our scripture that we're going to be looking at today is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verses 11 and going to verses 22. I'm not going to read that in a whole big block. We're going to kind of break it down and look at that and see where it is we were, where we are now, how we got there, and what does the future look like for us. Before I get started, let's just ask the Lord to speak through His Word. Father, again, what a privilege it is to be here and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord and to worship You and, Lord, to learn from Your Word. Father, as we look at Your Word this morning, I pray that You would show us the truth in it. And Father, I pray that You would release the power of Your Word in our hearts, that we might truly realize how blessed we are. Father, speak to us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul's State of the Union address, as where we're starting in of course, anytime you pick up in the middle of a chapter, you're really picking up in the middle of a kind of a thought here, and but actually even the chapter sometimes, if you start at the beginning of a chapter, you're still starting in the middle of a thought, because when the Bible was written, it did not have chapters and it did not have verses. It was written and this was the letter that Paul wrote. And the chapters and verses are added later. But we're going to start with verse 11. And what we're going to look at is our former state. You know, what were we? Well, at one time, we were once far from God. We were once far from God. And if we look at the first two verses here, verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 2, we read, "Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's kind of a depressing way to start a speech, you know? But what Paul is telling us is the truth. Now, again, remember there was, in the minds of the Jews, there were two types of people. There were Jews and then everyone else. That was it. And if you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. And it didn't make any difference what nationality you were a Gentile. So there were Jews and Gentiles, and they were very separated. And, of course, this letter is to the church at Ephesus, and it's to the Gentiles. It's to the Gentiles. And so what Paul is stating is at one time, you were separated from God. Well, the Israelites are God's chosen people. They are. They had the Ten Commandments. They had everything that, the laws to keep, the rituals that they did, and all this type of thing that they were supposed to follow to keep the covenant that God had given to them. And Gentiles were not a part of that. And so Paul is stating that the Gentiles were, and he's saying some kind of harsh things. You know, the first is, you know, you are called the uncircumcision. But then he kind of softens that by saying, but you're called that by those who are called the circumcision, which is done by man, not God. So, but still, we are the uncircumcision. Okay, separate from Christ. Now that's a hard one. Excluded from Israel. Well, I never really wanted to be a Jew anyway. So it's that it doesn't bother me. Strangers to the covenant. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get that one. But these next two ones kind of hurt. Why no hope? As it used to be before Jesus Christ, the Gentiles had no hope. And they were without God. See, that's a sad state, but you know, there's other passages in the scripture that make it maybe even a little harder for us. If I can get my fingers to work here. If we go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods." So we were slaves to things that are not God. Now, that's really very easy to see. If you stop, you know, you think about that. Do you know someone who is a slave to something that is not a God? You know, do you know people who are maybe slaves to money? Who are slaves to certain different things? You know, without God in our lives, we're slaves to things that are not God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil state is kind of ugly, just to put it mildly. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul puts it very bluntly and probably the ultimate. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." So we look at this list, our former way of life without God, without Jesus Christ, is a dismal picture. We were helpless, we were hopeless, we were dead. Even though we were physically alive, we were spiritually dead. Now, of course, when you start a State of the Union, you want to state the bad things, because you want to show how far we've come. And so Paul does that. The next section we look at is, it says, we are now brought near by Christ. So once we were far away, once we were alienated, once we were separate, but now we are brought near by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." See, we were there, but now we are near to God. We are close. There is now not the separation that there once was. And this was really foretold in the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah 57:19, we have this thought in here. It says, "Creating the praise of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, I will heal him." So even back in the Old Testament, when the separation was really noted between the Jews and the rest of the people, we have in here a prophetic note that was going to change. That the Jews, who were the ones that were considered near, and the Gentiles, the ones who were considered far away, God is going to heal both of those groups of people. That's going to happen. In Acts 2:39, it says, "For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." So we were once far away, even dead in our spiritual life. But now we have been called near because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." So once we were evil, now we have been drawn near to God, not by our own doing. Now this is where this is probably going to come apart from a State of the Union, because generally this is where the man who is speaking, generally the president, says, "Now I have done this, and I have done this, and this is what my administration has done, and you are here." Now, Paul can't say any of that, because Paul didn't do anything. Paul is simply announcing what is going on. He's simply reciting the speech, but it's by Jesus Christ that we are drawn close. It's by Jesus Christ, not by our own good works, our own pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps, our own efforts, our own wittiness, brains, intelligence. It's not by any of that we have been drawn closer to God. It's by Jesus Christ. It's through the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And we're going to be remembering that in just a few moments. So once we were alienated from God, evil in our thinking, hopeless, helpless, dead, now we are drawn near to God by Jesus Christ. In fact, not only are we drawn near to God by Jesus Christ, but we are made into one person in Jesus Christ. And let's look at verses 14 through 16 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, and broke down the barriers of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in him he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." There's a lot of words there, and if we dissected them all and looked at them all, we'd be here for quite some time. But basically what this passage of Scripture is saying is we who are far off, who were hostile in our thinking, hopeless, helpless, even dead because of our sin, have now, through Jesus Christ, by his work, been drawn near to God. But not just near to God, we have been made into one, the Jews and the Gentiles. There is now no separation between them, between us and them. We are one in Jesus Christ. We are made into one body. And we're going to be talking about that next week. A little bit more, what it means to be part of one body. But we're going to be looking at that. But Jesus Christ has drawn us from all over this world. He's into, you know, we think that, you know, the church in our world is fractured, and it's sad that it's fractured, because we are brothers and sisters with the people who meet in the churches around this community. We are not separate churches, separate identity, not separate people. We are all under Jesus Christ, made one body in Christ, presented to God through Jesus Christ. We are one. Now, so we look at that and say, well, boy, we're really a mess, aren't we? Because, man, we've got all these different, you know, even in the Baptist, under the Baptist, you know, heading, there are 70 denominations of Baptist. Because we don't get along. You know, and I look at that and I think, denominations. I really don't care for denominations. And denominations are dying, as a rule. The walls kind of are being broken down, and people are realizing, hey, wait a second. My brothers and sisters are everyone who is in Christ, not just everyone in the Baptist church who are in Christ. You are my close family, but I have an extended family. And that extended family is across this entire world, but they're my family. You know, when I travel anywhere, I'm running into family members. Now, I may not know that, but I'm running into family members because we are all one family, made into one group. And why we have these divisions in our mind, I don't know, but we do. And I'm sure it saddens God to a certain extent. But the other side of that, too, is we do have different jobs to do, and we're going to be talking about that. As one body in our body, made up of a lot of different members, and we're going to talk about that next week. I'm going to have to study anatomy a little bit to get it, or maybe I come up, get Lizzie, because, you know, she's studying all the bones and stuff and how they're connected, and stuff, although she wouldn't come up and tell you anything. It's kind of scary, but we're one now. And the scripture bears this out. Ephesians 4:4-6, it says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is a tremendous unity in the body of Jesus Christ. A oneness that is there. Romans 12:5. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. But you get this united theme here. We have been united together. Colossians 3:10-11. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. We've been made one. We are a body. We are to function as a body. We are to work together so that the body functions properly. So we who were separate, who were divided through Jesus Christ, have been drawn into one. And we don't fully understand that the oneness yet. And we haven't fully seen the benefit of that oneness. Let's finish our passage of Scripture, starting with verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So we now have access to the Father through one spirit. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Fellow citizens with the saints, with all those who believe. And we are citizens of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, the stone which the builder rejected, cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, this part of it is not, it's in the perfect tense, so it means it's ongoing. It isn't completed yet. It isn't finished. It's going on. We are being built into a building that God is going to dwell in. Now, don't think about buildings like this. This is a beautiful building. But not this. Our lives being put together into one body, that one body which is the church of Christ. And the reason we're being built together is for God to dwell with us. Even while we're here, not that, you know, eventually we're going to go dwell with God in heaven. But right here on this earth, now this is not going way off into the future, but this is what God desires for his church, the body, is to grow together and be built together so we can be a dwelling place for God, to be here with us, in us, and so that his power can be seen through us. and so that the world can be affected by us, by God dwelling in us. But all of this came about not because we wanted it to be that way, not because we were good and we put our acts together, not because we decided, well, you know, really, it's really foolish to have different races, and so we're going to ban races, and so we're going to all be together. It's not a political thing. It's not an ideological thing. It's not just positive thinking. This has all happened. We have become one body, a united group of people because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did. Because he took sin upon himself. And so now it's not keeping the covenants of the Old Testament or the Old Testament covenants. That we don't throw them out. Don't get me wrong. You don't throw them out. God made those rules. Those rules are good. They're really good. So we don't throw them out, but we certainly can't keep them. Neither could the Jews. Although they thought they could. And there are still Jews that think they can. And that's the way to God. But see, we were excluded from it. We didn't even have a chance because we couldn't do what we weren't Jews. But through Jesus Christ paying the price for our sins, dying on the cross, taking the punishment for what we do, we are built into a united church of God. We are all brothers and sisters in one family, one church, one body. And that body can do tremendous things when all its members are functioning properly. And we're going to learn about that. But this morning, I want to end this time with recognizing how we were unified. Again, it's not anything that we did, but it's what God did. It's what Jesus Christ did. So I'm going to invite the praise team to come on up and the deacons to join me as we gather around the Lord's table. As they're coming forward, let me explain to you a little bit, if you're not familiar with us, with First Baptist Church here. We believe, it's just as I preach, that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we are all members of one family. And being members of one family, we invite all of you who know Jesus Christ to join us. Because you are part of us. You are part of our family through Jesus Christ. We may not know you by name. We may not have ever seen you before. But if you know Jesus Christ, then you can partake in the Lord's table with us, and we invite you to do so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the unity that you have provided for us in Jesus Christ. Father, we are brought near to you. In fact, Lord, we become part of your family. Father, we have been brought near to each other because we are part of one body in Jesus Christ. And Father, in us you have placed one spirit to draw us together. Father, thank you that we are united in Jesus Christ. Father, help us to grow as a body of believers. Lord, as we want to stop now to remember how this all came about, it wasn't because of us, it was because of your love for us, because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, that we have this unity. So Lord, as we gather around your table, I just pray that you would search our hearts, that you would show us the things in our lives that are displeasing to you, or that we might confess them to you right now and be put into that right relationship, so that as we partake at the Lord's table, Lord, we do this without fault, without sin in our life, even for just this moment. Lord, search us, show us what we need to confess. And Father, we thank you that you have promised that if we confess our sins to you, you are faithful and just, and you will forgive us, and you will restore us. Father, thank you. And be with us, Lord, as we gather around your table. We pray this in Jesus' name.